Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You're about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
We want to discuss overcoming the fear of suffering and death. So, Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 to verse 11. Over there, the Bible says that, and to the angel of the church in Smyrna, Smyrna means meh, which is associated with suffering and death. These things says the first and the last. Please underline the first and the last. Who was dead and came to life? Underline that one too. Jesus is introducing himself in a unique way. Verse 9, I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days, underline 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes what? Overcomes fear, or overcomes the fear of death, shall not be hurt by the second death. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. So in this message, I'm going to teach you about kingdom suffering. And I want you to understand something else, that when we talk about death, we are not only talking about you losing your physical life, but death is generally standing for the loss of something. If you lose your physical life, death has taken place because you have lost something. But you can lose other aspects of your life. You can lose an aspect of your financial life. You can lose an aspect of your marital life. You can lose something in this life, and that one is also a type of death. Now, I made you to understand two things in the introduction of Jesus. He always introduced himself. Verse 8, Revelation chapter 2, says, I am the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. This one should make us to understand that Jesus has seen it all. You see, when you are the first and you are the last, I don't know what else you can be, you know, because you are the beginning and you are the ending. You have seen it all. When you have died before and you have come alive, I don't know what else the devil can shoot at you, because the greatest the devil can do is to bring death into your life. So Jesus is introducing himself and he's saying that I am the one who has seen it all. I have tasted death before, a horrible one. I have been last before, although I am also first. Hallelujah. Are you not excited that somebody addresses you and the person seems to know what he's talking about? He seems to have gone through the message that he is talking to you about overcoming the fear of death and of suffering. Hallelujah. Look at verse 9. He describes the works of these people. I know your works. I believe that this works is talking about their positive works, or something which is nice to talk about. You know, that is the best thing about them. I know your works. It is because Jesus Christ always acknowledges the good things about us. He is not preoccupied with our weaknesses. Some people think that Jesus is always thinking, or God is always thinking about our weaknesses. No. He himself says that you must not dwell on your weaknesses. So he doesn't dwell on your weaknesses himself. But the fallen human nature is always thinking about what he can do, what is wrong with him, and what he does not have. But God looks at what you can do. He looks at what you have, and he looks at what is right about you. So he says, I know your works. And then he knows our tribulation. That is the worst. I know your troubles. I know your poverty. He quickly adds, but you are rich. We'll talk about that as we go along. And he says, I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews, they are not, they are the synagogue of Satan. This blasphemy, I believe that, was something that these people who were the synagogue of Satan were saying that was impinging upon the church in Smyrna. It was affecting them in a bad way. So Jesus says, I know the worst that you are going through. It's wonderful. Then he gets to verse 10 after acknowledging that I know what you are going through. I know all the troubles. I know all the things that people are saying about you, which is impinging upon your life, hindering you and giving you problems in your business, giving you problems in your image and all that. He tells them, do not fear. In spite of what you are going through, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. I came to tell somebody it is better for you to defy your fears and to try and to fail. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. It is better to try something and to fail than not to try anything all your lifetime. The Bible says that the devil can use the fear of death to subject you to limitation all your lifetime. You can break out of fear. Don't fear defeat. It's okay if you are defeated and people are laughing at you. Let them laugh. It doesn't matter. God doesn't laugh at you. At least you defied your fear. Hallelujah. Some people are afraid to venture what God has told them to do because of ridicule. That people will laugh at them. People will look at them in a certain way. Other people are afraid of shame. So they don't try. The vision God has given unto them, the calling, they don't venture because they fear shame. Some people also fear destroying their name. They are too sensitive to their name. They are too sensitive to themselves. They don't want to soil any of their image. When I say soil, I don't mean that you soil your image negatively. But ladies and gentlemen, you can embark upon something and that thing can go best. It does not matter. It may look like it's a soiling of your image, but it's not a soiling of your image. It's a learning process. Hallelujah. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be too protective of yourself. You want to look cool all the time. Maybe the devil has frozen you. That is why you look cool, collected. As for you, you won't try for you to get any battles to fight. You won't try to have any difficulties in your life. Maybe you are cool because you have been frozen by fear. Wow. Some people also don't venture what God has told them to do because they fear witches. They fear that their witches around them are going to do something to them. Some people fear their neighbors. They don't try anything. They will say, what will my neighbor say? Ladies and gentlemen, break loose from the fear. God says that you should overcome the fear of suffering and the fear of death. Don't be afraid of hard work and difficulty. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid of standing on your own feet. Don't be afraid of isolation. Don't be afraid of the future. Don't be afraid of death. Hallelujah. Wonderful. God wants his people. Jesus wants his people that they become bold on this earth. I know some people are saying, well, Pastor, me, I don't have any fears in my life. I will tell you that almost everybody has got a form of fear that he has to overcome. Wow. Because I will tell you that worry is a manifestation of fear. I will tell you that anxiety is a manifestation of fear. Even doubt is a manifestation of fear. Worry is a fear you have about something which is in the past. You always worry about what you have done. So worry is normally a fear about the past. Doubt is a fear about the present. That is why you doubt. And anxiety is always about the future. It's a fear you have about tomorrow. You are anxious. You have butterflies in your stomach because you don't know the outcome of something, what is coming. So in the past, you can worry. Presently, you can doubt. And you can have anxiety about tomorrow. But I want you to understand that God wants us to overcome fear. Look at the book of 1 Peter chapter number 3 and then verse 14. Let's talk about kingdom suffering now. 1 Peter chapter 3 and then verse 14. The Bible says in verse 13, and who is he? I love this. Who is he who will harm you? Oh, I love it. Who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? God wants to dispel our fears. He says that I stand in my perfect love to cast out every fear out of your life. And he's challenging whoever in this world, whoever from hell, whoever in heaven. He says, who is he who can harm you if you are following the good thing that I have planned for you, the calling, the convictions that I've given unto you? Who can harm you? He says, don't be afraid. Your enemy has been cast out. The Bible says that the devil has been cast out. He is no more near you. He is out. Who is able to harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. It is like Jesus saying to the church in Smyrna, don't be afraid of what you are going to go through. He is saying the same thing here. Do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Wow. It is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good. You know, sometimes people can be addicted to suffering. Believers can be so expectant of suffering that whatever thing that they do, they expect suffering to come. Don't be that addicted to suffering that when you don't suffer, then you don't like it. The Bible says that it is better if it is the will of God that you suffer. Hallelujah. Because it's not every good thing that you are doing that God wills that you suffer out of it. But it is possible for you to be doing good and to suffer out of it. In 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 17, we see that there are two sources of suffering. The first one is doing the wrong thing. And the second one is doing the right thing. Both can bring suffering to the believer. But God says we should not suffer in doing the evil things, doing the wrong things. Look at the same first Peter, this time chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer. In other words, don't suffer for doing the wrong thing. Or as a busybody in other people's matter. Wow. The Bible is telling us that don't suffer because you are a gossip. You see, if a believer is a gossip, he's always talking about people. He's a busybody. When people get to know, they will harass you. You shouldn't say, I'm suffering for Christ. This is not kingdom suffering. This one is religious suffering. When you suffer as somebody who is disobedient to God, it is not kingdom suffering. A believer can choose to go his own way. If he's going his own way, doing his own thing, and suffering comes to his life, you should not say he's suffering for Christ. It's not suffering for Christ. It is suffering because you are being disobedient. So he says that don't suffer as an evildoer. Don't suffer as a disobedient believer. Because if you don't obey your conscience, if you don't obey the word of God, suffering can come to you. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that if you obey the word of God, there will be no suffering. I've told you before that there are two ways, two sources of suffering: doing the right thing and doing the wrong thing. God wants us in kingdom suffering. We suffer for the sake of Christ. Hallelujah. 1 Peter still chapter 2 and then verse 21. Kingdom suffering, I want to give you some three characteristics of kingdom suffering or so that you know the difference. Because some people, if they don't learn their books and they are suffering, they think they are suffering for Christ. In the exams, they are suffering for Christ. That is not, it's religious suffering. You don't obey your parents and it's all well with you. It's not kingdom suffering. You are suffering demons because of Christ. It's not. It's your own thing. Although when you are in it and you are suffering, you can call upon him and he will make all things work together for your good. That is how gracious he is. But look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. The first characteristic of kingdom suffering is that it is suffering like Jesus. Suffering like Jesus. Did Jesus suffer because he was disobedient to God? No. Did Jesus suffer because he was a thief? No. Jesus suffered because of what? Doing the right thing. Obeying God. Obeying the word of God. If you do that and you suffer, you are undergoing kingdom suffering. The suffering of Christ.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and his kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Hallelujah. That's the first characteristic of kingdom suffering. The second characteristic of kingdom suffering is that in kingdom suffering, you suffer with Christ. You don't suffer for Christ. In religious suffering, you suffer for Christ. But we have not been called to suffer for him. We suffer with him. In other words, when you are in kingdom suffering, you are suffering. Jesus is there in the suffering with you. He is not aloof. In Acts chapter 9, verse 4 and 5, when Saul was persecuting the church, the believers, Jesus opened the heavens and called out unto him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Jesus was in heaven, but he told Saul that, "Why are you persecuting me?" Because the suffering that you go through, Jesus is suffering with you. Hallelujah. In kingdom suffering, you suffer with Jesus. He is closest to you in the middle of your suffering, like he was to the three Hebrew boys who were cast into the midst of the fiery fire in the book of Daniel. You remember, Jesus, the Son of God, appeared in the fire with them. The king said, "I see four people." We drew three, but I see four people. The fourth one looks like the Son of God. Hallelujah. That's Jesus. You suffer with him. It's wonderful for your life to know that you are doing everything with Jesus and not for him. Don't sacrifice for him. Sacrifice with him. Hallelujah. Wonderful. The third characteristic of kingdom suffering is that kingdom suffering is temporary. In other words, it has got an expiry date. It has got a lifespan. It's not forever. That is why in the book of Revelations, Jesus talking to the church in Smyrna, he told them that, "I know your poverty," and he quickly added, "but you are rich." Because he's trying to tell them that the poverty is not your state forever. Hallelujah. A time is going to come that you are going to enjoy instead of the poverty. So he told them in the other verses, if you look at Revelations chapter 2 and then verse number 10, he told them that Satan is going to cast some of you into prison to be tested, and you have troubles 10 days. He's trying to say that there is an end to the trouble. There is an end to the trouble. After 10 days, don't expect trouble. Says that you have the trouble 10 days. Some people said that me, I'm suffering like Job. The suffering of Job, we are told by history, was for 9 months. So don't say that me, when I was born, I should suffer to the grave with a particular suffering. You must overcome that suffering. A different suffering will come. Yes, I know. But you must overcome the suffering. Kingdom suffering is not forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. We are around that place. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9 to 10. Says that we are suffering. Resist him. Resist the devil. He's a roaring lion. He's trying to bring fear into your life. That's verse 8. He is roaring, seeking whom he may devour. He wants you to freeze in fear, and he will pounce on you. He says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. It's not a strange suffering. It's not only you who is undergoing that marital trouble. I came to assure somebody that because you are doing the right thing, other people are doing the right thing, and they are suffering the same thing. Other people have suffered the same thing. You know, it is not peculiar to you. Look at verse 10. That's where I want to zero in. But the God of all grace, after you have suffered, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, after you have suffered for 10 days, after you have suffered poverty for a while, he delivers you out of the poverty. Says that after you have suffered a while, he will perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory. Hallelujah. The glory is in you being in the trouble and he taking you out. It is not the trouble like the sickness that you are sick because of doing the work of God that glorifies him. It is he delivering you out of the sickness that brings him glory. Hallelujah. Wonderful. How many have I given you so far? Three characteristics of kingdom suffering. Wow. Now, let's quickly look at the right attitudes which you have in suffering. Right attitude which you have in kingdom suffering. Number one. You should not be afraid. Jesus told the church in Smyrna, don't be afraid of what you are going to go through. Because I've seen it before. It's not worth it. It's not worth your fear. It's not worth you running stomach. Says, I'm the first, I'm the last. I know what I'm talking to you about. I died, now I'm alive. I'm telling you, don't be afraid. There's no point. Many times, things that we are afraid of, when we go forward, we see that, there was no reason why we should have been afraid, that we were capable of it. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. The Bible tells us over there that in nothing terrified by your adversary. In nothing terrified by your adversary. Don't be afraid, because fear is not worth it. Number two, the right attitude in kingdom suffering. You should suffer without threats. You suffer without threats. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23 gives us the example of Jesus, that when he suffered, he threatened not. Some people, when they are suffering, they threaten. When they are being persecuted, they say, you wait, you will see what will happen to you in 2 days' time. You mark my words. If I'm a prophet, watch, next week, some things will happen to you. You are threatening them. Stop. The Bible says that Jesus, when he suffered, he threatened not. Stop threatening church members. And church members, stop threatening your pastors. Because you are suffering, stop threatening. Because there's a way church members threaten. They can threaten with their tithes. When you suffer, threaten not. Jesus wasn't on the cross and he was not saying that, hey, all of you in 3 days' time, you will see what is going to become of your families. You will see your children, how their destiny will be. You will see. He didn't threaten. The Bible says when he suffered, he didn't threaten. He rather committed himself to the one who judges righteously. So that is the third thing you need to do in kingdom suffering, you have to pray. 1 Peter 4:19 says that he committed himself to the one who judges righteously. That is why when you are suffering, you need to pray. It's important. The book of James says that, is anybody afflicted, let him pray. Is anybody happy, let him sing psalms. When you are suffering, behave like Jesus. He said, into your hands I commit my spirit. So let him, 1 Peter chapter 4, and then verse number 19. Those of you who are close there, look at it. Therefore, let him who suffer according to the will of God, that is kingdom suffering, let him who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as unto a faithful creator. He is faithful. Commit your soul. In other words, commit your will to him. Commit your mind to him. Commit your emotions to him. Because suffering can disturb your emotions. Suffering can destroy your mind. Some people suffer, they become wicked. They say, what I've gone through, they should also go through. They have the means to help people, but he said, me, I suffered for it. Let them also suffer. These are people who have gone through suffering that they didn't commit their minds to God in well-doing, so it has affected them in a bad way. They become callous, emotionally unfeeling, insensitive. Because your father and your mother died, does it mean that you went through suffering? Yes. Does it mean that when you hear somebody's mother and father has died, you should not weep with the person? Should you say, it's not that your mother has died there. It's not that your mother has died. You have grown. You have got gray hair. Now your mother has died. You are even crying. You know when my mother died? Please, don't do that. Don't do that. You see, there is an example of somebody who went through suffering and the emotions is spoiled. He can no more laugh. He can no more even cry. Because you have suffered, you have cried in your pillow. When you hear about people suffering, it's nothing. You don't show emotion. You have become hardened by your suffering. That is why when you suffer according to the will of God, commit your soul. Your soul is talking about your mind, your will, your emotions. Commit it to God that he will keep you, that you don't develop callousness and all that. There are other things I have to show you, but time will not allow me. Let's end it. Go back to Revelation chapter 2, and then verse number, the last verse, 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes what? Overcome the fear of suffering and death shall not be hurt by the second death. What is the second death? Look at Revelation 21 and then verse 8. That's where we are going to end. Revelation 21 verse 8. It says, but the cowardly, King James says, but the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Jesus says that if you overcome fear of death, second death will not hurt you. What is the second death? The second death is the people is actually talking about being sent into the lake of fire. All right? But he says that, look at the list of people in verse 8 who are going to be hurt by the second death. It says, on top of the list is who? The fearful. And then the next one is who? Unbelievers. The next one is who? Abominable, murderers. Whoremongers are the prostitutes, sorcerers, magicians, idolaters. Those who are worshiping idols. These are very bad sins, including lies. But look, on top of those who are going to be hurt by the second death, who are the first people? The fearful. So Jesus says that if you overcome what? Fear, being a coward in your life, afraid to venture, the second death will not hurt you. Hallelujah. Isn't it powerful that God wants us to overcome worry in our lives? The other manifestation of doubt in our lives. The other manifestation of anxiety in our lives. Maybe now you feel that you are wonderful, but I don't know what will happen to this marriage tomorrow. You are being anxious. I have butterflies in my stomach about, now I have money, but I don't know in 10 years' time how things will be. You see that you have anxiety. If you don't want to be hurt by the second death, you have to overcome fear. Let me prophesy as I end. I see in you bold people. People who are going to dare. People who are going to try things. And if even they fail, they learn from the failure and they try again. They never let fear keep them down. They never let worry take the better part of them. They are bold. They are daring. They are always starting new things. They are breaking new frontiers. They are blazing the trail. They are doing things. They are not idle people. They are people who dare to do something. Whether it succeeds or not, they will try it. Let this be your portion in Jesus' name and overcome suffering. You came from
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.